The passage from Luke this morning is part of the sermon itself. Well, Jesus is the one who is constant in his companionship as we walk through all the joys and struggles in life, as well as all the laughter in life and all the tears and events of the present day. Jesus shows us a way to be with others as we experience the story of the Good Samaritan. This is also an example of what we can do as Christians when we encounter events that cause us to stop to help. Even events that defy human understanding and create scenes of carnage and the destruction of lives. Well, this story goes like this. A lawyer approached the Lord to ask him what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus asked him, "What does the holy law say?" And he responded with the affirmation of loving God with one's whole being, heart, soul, strength, and mind, as well as loving your neighbor as yourself. The man wanted Jesus to elaborate on who is my neighbor. So Jesus begins the parable by saying how a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. The place where the Jewish man was attacked, robbed, and left for dead was known for its hazards and risks. Yet he traveled that way anyway. Well, as he lay on the road injured, by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Then later on, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side as well. But because of the adherence to the ritual and laws, the priest and the Levite were prevented from stopping to help the man. The one who did stop to help was a Samaritan who came from a nation, a people despised by the Jews. And the story goes, a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Then he gave the innkeeper money and asked him to take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever you have spent. Well, this Samaritan, a complete stranger, made sure that the injured man was safe and had an opportunity to heal. And despite the religious and social norms of the day, the Samaritan was willing to become involved with the injured man and see to his care and how he reached out to that Jewish man. Well, Jesus then asked, "Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the thieves, the robbers?" The lawyer responded, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Well, the acts of mercy and love became the call to live a faithful life. Holy wisdom, holy word. But friends, today we ask ourselves the same question: who is our neighbor? The time to really answer this question is now, with all of our lives and with all of our efforts for neighborliness. And to be a neighbor means to be in a good relationship with those around us and with those persons who are next to us, wherever we are and regardless who they are as far as their race. It means even more today as we seek to rebuild and maintain good relationships with those in our communities, our state, and in our world. Well, you know, over the years, and especially this year, we have been asked the same question over and over again: who is our neighbor? And sometimes it turns out to be the opposite of love. The mass shootings in churches, schools, cities, and social venues in our country continue to escalate. The devastation and death through suicide bombers and car bombings that have killed hundreds continues unabated. The wars that ravage our world seek to destroy regions and communities while displacing thousands of people from their home countries. Who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? Well, we also need to ask some questions. When will all of this senseless killing, wounding, maiming, and destruction come to an end? When will it come to an end? What will it take to once again engage in open and honest and respectful conversations with our brothers and sisters within our communities about race? What will it take to end violence between people? Domestic violence and gun violence must be abolished in order for us to live peaceably in this world and in our own homes. I can even remember a couple I was working with in a church in a different state, in a different city, and hearing how she was very upset about the situation in their relationship, but she also knew he had guns in the house. She feared for her life. You know, we belong to a world where everything is interchangeable and interconnected. And trying to isolate ourselves from the issues in our communities and in our homes and in our world is a myth. Otherwise, we have compromised our right to speak up for change, for justice, and to speak up for the lives of others. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, and I quote, "Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Unquote. Without a doubt, my friends, today we can say every life matters. Yes, I can tell you all about the things you can do to influence the political arena, but that is for you to decide. Now, as far as what we must do as redeemed Christians, I say, and I can say this, that the words of our Lord Jesus Christ ring in our ears, and those words are, love one another. Love your neighbor. Because you know, we also are neighbors. As disciples of Christ, we are commanded to love others in our homes, in our relationships, and in our world. Even with all the violence in our world and racial injustice between people of different racial groups, love must reign. Love must reign. Love must reign and be the true sign for each of us today. But the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12, verses 9 through 21, the words we need to hear every day of our lives as the marks of a true Christian and how we are to be about living, even in a violent world. Well, Paul writes, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extending hospitality to strangers. Paul continues to guide us in what we have to do, and when he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. With all. More specifically, Paul says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Loving our neighbors. We are neighbors too. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, Christ taught us to love with our entire being. May faith, love, and mercy be our trademarks of a true Christian and how we live out our faith in the world. But Jesus shows us how to walk with people who are hurting, injured, fearful, sick, or dying. Your life matters. My life matters. Every life matters. All lives matter. So let us seek the ways of peace and understanding with the people within our communities by talking and eating with them, inviting them out, reaching out to them and say hello on the streets, or in the hallways at work, even in the apartments that we live. Yes, it is hard, a hard thing to grasp, since it means we must go beyond those we know, to reach out to all people, regardless who they are. Yes, we grieve this day for the loss of men and women who have lost their lives in the protection of our communities this week and other weeks throughout this year. We grieve for those who have lost their lives in ways that are disturbing to our sights and hearts. We all grieve. Our country's grieving. Families are grieving. But through it all lives matter. You know, friends, we must love one another and really be kind to one another. And in a moment, we're going to be looking at a video, a short video. And this is really called a moment of kindness. For it tells us and shows us what we can do and how we can live out our life in this world. Because Jesus calls us to be a neighbor in this world, calls us to love others. To love God, and yes, even to love ourselves. Let us be kind to one another. Let us be merciful. Let us be loving. To love our neighbor, especially in times like this, we are called upon to reach out to our neighbors here and abroad to let them know that we love them and they also extend a hand to us. In closing, a friend of mine in Michigan placed a picture of a sign alongside the road in his community on Facebook. And the sign read, "Turn off the news and love one another. Remember, all are precious in God's sight." All of us are precious in God's sight. So let us love one another and extend our hands of love to others in our community and throughout the world. Amen and amen.